lesson this hour is going to come from Galatians chapter 6. I'd like to read the first five verses of this, if you'd like to read along. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. It's really been good to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate all of you. We've been looking at some examples of passages in the New Testament that speak to the relationship that we have with one another and responsibilities that we have that go with that relationship. And we come here to the bearing of burdens, bear one another's burdens. I probably don't have to say much to have you all agree with me that we all carry burdens in this life. That's just part of life. We carry burdens around with us. There's a sense, of course, in which we have to carry our own burdens, that nobody else can carry them for us. And yet we're told to bear one another's burdens. And so part of what I want to do in the beginning is to kind of sort that out, those two statements. Paul actually makes that distinction in this passage between those burdens that are assigned to each one of us individually, burdens that we cannot share, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, those burdens for which we need help. We're called to bear one another's burdens. And you'll notice that in verse 2, we're taught to bear one another's burdens. But in verse 5, Paul says each one will bear his own burden. At least that's the way it's translated in the King James Version. Some of the other translations have that burden in both places. But in verse 5, when he says each one will bear his own burden, it's actually a different word in the original language. And so I think we're better off seeing translations that have a distinction in the translation, because they really refer to something different, something that is carried like a load. And so that's the way it's translated here in this translation, the New American Standard Version. Each one must bear his own load. The word was used, that particular word in verse 5 was used in ancient times for the pack that a soldier would wear on his back. So he had to carry his load. And this is something that no one else could do for him. Each soldier was responsible for his own load, those things that he carried with him in the battle or on the march. And so Paul there wants to emphasize that individually each one must bear our own load, those things that we're accountable for. And so I think it's important for us to recognize at this point, before we go any further in our lesson, that there are some burdens that are non-transferable. You ever heard that expression? Things like airline tickets. This is non-transferable. You cannot give this to someone else. You're the only one that can use this ticket. And each one must bear his own load in verse 5. That particular kind of burden is one that's non-transferable. And so what kinds are those? Well, that is used metaphorically to refer to the duties that God has given each one of us. He's given us duties and responsibilities. And I can't pass those on to you. I can't give you my duties and responsibilities. You can't give me yours. The Lord has given each one his own work to do, as he talks about here in verse 4. And he says, each one must examine his own work. And if there's ever going to be any credit that's given, it's going to be in regard to that person and his own work. You can't get credit for work that someone else has done. In Ezekiel chapter 18, there's a passage where the prophet says that the one who sins will die, the soul who sins will die, and he's emphasizing there the individual responsibility that we all have in life. We are responsible. I'm responsible for my own actions. I'm responsible for my own sins. And I'm going to be responsible for the consequences of my own sins. And you're going to be responsible for yours. Those are the kind of things the Bible talks about. And it talks about those things that we carry ourselves. We cannot pass those to anyone else. And when we stand before the Lord in judgment, each one of us must give an account of our own actions. No one else can stand there for us. And so, for example, Romans 14, verse 12, Paul says, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so we understand that principle. In fact, when we talk about responding to the offer of salvation, the basic response to the gospel, the Lord has made that offer available to every single one of us. Go preach the gospel to the whole creation. But only those who respond to it can receive those blessings. Only those who respond to the gospel, those are the ones who can receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and salvation. And so each one of us must respond individually. And so, yes, there are those burdens that we have that cannot be passed on to someone else. We have to carry our own burdens, as he says in verse 5. But sometimes our burdens become too great to carry alone. And there are some kinds of burdens that fall into that category. And that's why he says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We're taught to bear one another's burdens. And here, the burden is a different word. It refers to something that's heavy and something that's weighty and something that's burdensome. And there are many of those that we can help one another with. Our heaviest burdens are not always those that other people can see. Sometimes they're not even apparent to others around us. Well, I'm sure we all have been in that predicament before, but we're walking around carrying a burden of some kind, and maybe someone says, I wonder what's wrong with him, what's going on in his life or her life. These are burdens that we carry. But there are times when those become known to those around us, and when they are, the law of Christ demands that brothers and sisters come to the aid of one another. So we're called to bear one another's burdens, and it can be in a lot of different forms, and sometimes it's solid, the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's discouragement, the burden that we can help one another with. Sometimes it's a burden of temptation, that we're being overwhelmed by some temptation that is wearing us down. Maybe it's just spiritual weakness in general. Or even in the case that Paul brings up here, we've been caught in a trespass. We've been caught in sin. We're carrying a burden, a burden of guilt. And how, what do I do about this? And what does Paul say to do? Bear one another's burdens, including those times when it's a burden of a very serious spiritual nature. So what can we learn from this text as far as, and for that matter, the rest of Scripture to help us in knowing how to bear one another's burdens? The first thing that Paul says here is, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So it's important, as always, to notice the context in which things appear in Scripture. And the context of Paul's statement here is his discussion of the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So the two ways of life, the way of the flesh is one way, the way of the Spirit is a different way, the way that we've been taught. And in this context, it shows the different ways in which we sometimes react when a brother or sister may be caught in some sin. The way the flesh is often characterized by envy, by boastfulness. Go back to verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. Have you ever witnessed that situation where someone is caught in a sin or trespass? And sometimes we might be tempted to react by saying, I'd never do that. And we can have that kind of a boastful attitude rather than wanting to do what we ought to do in helping an individual that's caught in that. But those kind of attitudes are deceptive and dangerous for a lot of reasons. And not only do those kind of attitudes discourage us from coming to the aid of the brother or sister who is in trouble, as Paul points out, those attitudes also put us at risk of being overcome by sin also. So what does he say? Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We've got to watch our attitudes. So Paul is emphasizing the fact that we need to do this gently, not with an arrogant attitude or a boastful attitude, but in a spirit of gentleness. And he said, when he talks about those of you who are spiritual, these are the ones who are mature. This Christian will rush to the aid of the brother who has been overcome by sin, and in a spirit of gentleness, try to restore that brother. And we've all been in situations where this is just what brothers and sisters do. Someone who has fallen and stumbled and has made some serious mistakes. Listen, Christianity in this regard is not about every man for himself. It's about mutual assistance. It's a mutual aid group. That's what the church is. And when a brother's burden has become so heavy that he staggers beneath his weight, and he gives in to some sin, some trespass, he says something he shouldn't have said, he does something, done something he shouldn't have done, he's created disunity in the body, wherever it might be, what should we do? We rush to his aid, and we try in a spirit of gentleness to help him or her. That's what we all do. That's one way we bear one another's burdens. That's why burden bearing is stated in the very next verse, bear one another's burdens. So we need to be careful about that. Another thing is to do it with humility. So he says, looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. But after all, bearing one another's burdens, that's a mutual thing, isn't it? That's a reciprocal statement. Bearing one another's burdens means that sometimes I'll help you bear your burdens, at other times I'll need for you to help me with mine. That's what that implies, isn't it? It's not a one-way kind of thing. We are all going to be in that position. Every single one of us is going to be in a position from time to time where we need the encouragement and support of one another in bearing the burdens. It may not be long before the shoe is on the other foot, as they say. And the favor will need to be returned. So Paul warns against the attitude of boasting here in verse 26. He also is given a warning and saying the need that we need to do this with meekness and gentleness is that temptation may catch up with us at some point. And so before we can keep an eye on one another, we need, first of all, be sure we're keeping an eye on ourselves, looking to ourselves and making sure that we're doing our best. Jesus talked about, when he talked about judging, and he talked about one that wants to find a splinter in your brother's eye when there is a plank protruding from his own eye. That's the gist of the problem. It's not that we shouldn't try to help one another, but first we need to look to ourselves. So do it with humility and gentleness, and humility, and do it out of mutual concern. So, you know, the scriptures are full of these statements about the relationship we have with one another. We've been looking at a lot of them, actually, in this series. Last Lord's Day, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer talks about how that we should consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, and that we try to encourage one another. To encourage one another. That's burden bearing, isn't it? If someone has a burden, sometimes it's just a matter of being there. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, I'm here for you. And to offer a word of encouragement, say, you can get through this, and I'm here to help you any way I can. Even if you don't have all the answers, that's a lot of what it's all about, burden bearing. Sometimes it's providing support, you know, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. You know, there's a time when you just, all you can do is say, I feel for what you're going through, I'm here for you, weep with those who weep. And that's a great encouragement when you're the one who's in need of that kind of support. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. All the members, we're all connected. And so we need to be there for one another. Mutual concern. But it also involves asking the Lord's help. We bear one another's burdens with God's help, the Bible says. And so, for example, of Psalm 55, cast all your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55, verse 22. One of the ways we can bear one another's burdens is to ask God for help. Ask God to help a brother or sister who is discouraged in some way, who is sad, who is brokenhearted in some way, who is struggling in some way. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, remember, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's how we get through things. And we do that individually, of course, but the same thing applies with trying to help one another get through the tough patches in life. Bear one another's burdens. We go to God for help. Peter writes it this way, 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's how we bear one another's burdens. Prayer is such a powerful thing. We cannot do it alone, even when we're trying to help someone. But then the final thing, and really the thing that Paul seems to be emphasizing here in context, and we come back to that and close with it, he says, you bear one another's burdens, and thereby you fulfill the law of Christ. Now that is a very important statement, a very powerful statement. This is how you fulfill the law of Christ. So what's he talking about here? You know, one of the great blessings of being members of the family of God is that we can rely upon one another. So, you know, collectively we are members of one another. We had a lesson on that statement. We're members of one another. I like the expression, we're a band of brothers. One of my favorite authors wrote a book. It was a group of World War II pilots, a whole fighting group that saw themselves as a band of brothers. And they were there to help one another, literally, to make it through that hellish ordeal. I want to tell you something. We're a band of brothers. Brothers and sisters. We're together. Alone we are weak. Together we are strong. So, in this relationship, we are to bear one another's burdens. And when we do, we are putting into action the plan and purpose of God. When we do this, this is proof of divine wisdom in the church arrangement, the family of God arrangement. It is proof that God knew what He was doing. When we're going through it, we see this in action. It is evidence of what Paul refers to as the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. What is the mind of Christ? He says, you look out for the interests of others, not just your own interests. And why is that the mind of Christ? Because that's exactly what Jesus did. When though He existed in the form of God, He did not count it robbery to give that up. He chose to become a man. He came to earth on our behalf. He was looking out for others. He was equal with God, but he left heaven and came here on our behalf. And so that's the law of Christ. That's the spirit of Christ. The law of love. And it's something that the New Testament talks about very often. In fact, in this text, Paul reminds the brethren that the command to love your neighbor as yourself is the summation of the whole law. He says in chapter 5, verse 14 there. That's the essence of it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so here it's called the law of Christ because Jesus repeatedly taught that those who follow Him must love one another. And they must love their neighbors as themselves. That's the law of Christ. That's the essence of it. That gets to the very heart and core of it. And so when we bear one of those burdens, it goes to the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. And it is the essence of true discipleship. And it is truly what it means to walk by the Spirit, as Paul talked about here in chapter 5. At the end of the day, we each of us must acknowledge that we need God's help. We need God's help in bearing our burdens. We need one another's help. We need God's help. The greatest burden that we have is the burden of sin. It's too great for any one of us to bear alone. And that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross to take our sins upon Himself. Surely our griefs He Himself bore and our sorrows He carried. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to His own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Him. He Himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Again, all of that is from Isaiah 53. And it's about Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, bearing the greatest of all of our burdens. He bore our sins on the cross. He has already provided for you and me the help that we need. So what we need to do is be sure that we're allowing Him to take away the burden of sin. That's the first thing. Allow Jesus Christ to take away our burden of sin by believing that He is the Son of God and coming to Him in trust and in obedience to His gospel plan. Lay Him all at His feet. He'll wash our sins away when we do that. Well, thank you for listening. This is my lesson for this hour. I appreciate so much your listening today and your patience. And God bless you. Let's stand now as we sing the invitation song.